Please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Jesus Christ in this passage is continuing to teach his disciples about what true discipleship is, what it really means to follow him. We come to this passage about divorce and we think, what in the world does this have to do with discipleship? Why is he talking about divorce here? I'll tell you very clearly. Is that divorce was as big an issue then as it is now. And the issue of divorce is really about the clash of two kingdoms. Our kingdom and our way, as articulated by our culture and our world, are God's kingdom and God's way. Divorce is at the forefront of the battle going on in this world. Not one of us can express, every one of us has been touched by divorce in some way, shape, or form. So today we're going to hear what Jesus Christ has to say about the issue of marriage and divorce and remarriage and what it means to follow him in our marriages. Mark 10, beginning in verse 1. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to this passage and it is hard. These are hard words. But your words are the words of truth. You're the light of the world, and you expose darkness. And Lord, you know where the battle's being fought in quiet and in behind closed doors and in marriages and people struggling with marriages. Lord, I ask that you would do only what you alone can do, and that's to bring comfort for those who are struggling in marriages. That you would bring comfort and peace for those who have been abandoned. Lord, that you would bring strength and power by the power of your Spirit alone to bring life into a dead marriage. And that you would give us your view of marriage rather than our view of marriage. Lord, help us submit to this word. We want to be followers, true followers of Christ. So Lord, we sit at your feet. Doing the best thing, listening to you. Not listening to our own hearts or to what our world is saying, but listening to you. So teach us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is about the clash of two kingdoms. And Jesus Christ is teaching what it really means to follow him. And he goes straight to talking about marriages. Jesus Christ always pointed out the elephant in the room. It was one of the reasons everybody hated him so much. It was also the reason that so many people were transformed by his teaching. Jesus Christ never let an elephant in the room go unnoticed. And he's doing that this morning. He is talking about the issue of divorce He's talking about the sin of leaving, the sin of breaking a marriage. And so we need to listen to him this morning. We're going to look at 2 points and then 1 point of application. The first point is, Jesus Christ exposes the wrong view of marriage. It's the first thing he does. He exposes the wrong view of marriage quickly, clearly, succinctly. And the second thing he does is he gives us the right view of marriage. He exposes the wrong view, first point. He gives us the right view of marriage, second point. And then so what, the third point. What does that mean for us now today? And I can promise you, I was preparing this sermon this week, I know that there are some people here today, I'm not going to name any names, I know, but everyone here in this room has been touched by divorce, and some of you are in marriages that you feel like are on the brink, and you need to hear the words of encouragement and comfort today, and you need to accept Jesus' view of marriage. We all do today. So let's look at the first point. Jesus exposes the wrong view of marriage, and here's what it is in one word. I can always get out if I need to. I'm going to find a way out of this marriage if I need to. That's the wrong view of marriage. It's the popular view of marriage. It's actually not really that modern. It goes all the way back to the first century and even before. The Pharisees, in verse 2, they come to Jesus and they're testing him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Jesus says, what did Moses command you? They replied, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And Jesus says it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. Here's the point. They're testing Jesus like they always did, and they want to find out which side of the issue Jesus was on. Was he going to be a liberal or was he going to be a conservative? And Jesus always makes everyone mad. He's neither. Well, what did Moses say? What does the Bible say? And then they quote Deuteronomy 24. This is the contested passage. This is the passage that in the first century and previous that was constantly used as a reason to get out of marriage. The issue is Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, he writes a certificate of divorce and gives it to her and sends her from his house. Here's the debate. It's just like us as humans. Here's the debate. What does indecent mean? He finds something indecent about her. So, of course, everyone wants to get a divorce. What does indecent mean? Well, there was one group of people that said that indecent meant only immorality, unfaithfulness to the marriage bed. Only that, that's what indecent means. That was one group. The second group is anything you want it to mean. They're called the Hillel group. Literally, this group, which was the most pervasive understanding of this passage, In Judaism today, you know, among conservative Pharisees even, that what Deuteronomy 24 is talking about is anything the husband doesn't like about his wife, he can send her off. Literally, if she burnt the toast, if she started having wrinkles. True, these are examples. Josephus, the great Jewish historian, talked about these types of divorces all the time. You could get out of a marriage. He actually cites his own divorce. He said, I divorced my wife because her behavior did not please me. Well, I'd really feel safe in a marriage, wouldn't you? Your behavior does not please me. So this was the popular understanding of what Moses had written. And we're familiar with this kind of hair splitting, this loophole exploration. Could go on forever, and what Jesus says to them in verse 5 is, you have absolutely missed the point completely. You have totally missed the point. It's jarring what Jesus is teaching here. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. He said, it's because of the fall, it's because of sin in this world, it's because there's a reality of brokenness in marriage. That's the only reason this law was written. It was written as a concession because sin actually occurs in marriage. That's not the purpose of marriage. They were missing the point. The reason this was written is to show that a marriage can be dissolved only because of certain sinful exceptions to marriage. But this was never God's intention for marriage, ever. Divorce was never God's intention for marriage, ever. I know that sounds shocking to us. It never expresses His true purpose and intent for marriage. One commentator said this, "It's like trying to learn to fly a plane by following the instructions to a crash landing." I'll put one foot in the marriage, but I'm going to keep one foot out because I can always leave it if I want to, because you know what? God gives me permission to do it. That is absolutely missing the point. God is saying, I don't want you to get divorced. I don't want divorce. I hate divorce. So Jesus is giving the positive view of marriage before he ever argues about divorce. The Jews of Jesus' day and the Americans sitting in this room, including this person, we have had a messed up American view, an easy, disposable view of the covenant of marriage. We have. Why don't you think people feel safe in marriages? Why do you think we lack trust in marriage? It was easy to get out of a marriage in that day, and it's easy to get out of a marriage in this. It's even easier. 50% of marriages, you've heard these statistics. Preachers love to give these statistics, but they're true, right? 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 67% of second marriages end in divorce. 74% of third marriages end in divorce. And you do the math. And the church is no different. I can promise you, in my short little ministry, I can promise you, my observation is this. The church is absolutely no different in these numbers. We're being confronted with the reality that we as Christians, evangelicals, have adopted an unbiblical view of marriage. Here's the reality. We can profess strict orthodoxy with our preaching and our teaching and our Sunday school. We do it all the time. We can quote R.C. Sproul to the cows come home. But in marriage, we can be absolutely rank pagans. And the practical way that we live, we can completely deny what we profess with our mouths. And it's happening. And Jesus Christ is calling the elephant in the room what it is. Because when things get hard, we want out. I think we do it with our cell phone contracts. I don't really like the service. And folks, there are few things on this planet harder than being married to another human. So the age-old question is, how can I get out of this if I need to? How can I leave this person? How can I justify Scripture for letting me get out of this marriage? That's what the Pharisees are doing. It's the same thing that we're doing. It's the clash of the two kingdoms. It's seen clearer here than anyone else. See, I can hide my sin from you. Any other way. Most of all, the rest of my sin I can hide from you. But the fact that I'm struggling in my marriage, when it all comes down to it, when I want out of my marriage and when you want out of your marriage, when it gets too hard, when push comes to shove, we want out because we want our way most of the time. The person that God has brought into my life doesn't fit. They don't make me happy. I know it's complicated. I know how profoundly difficult these situations are. The reality is, some of us have gotten divorces, left your families, and you did not have biblical grounds for making that divorce. And walking in direct disobedience with the Lord Jesus. That's just the reality. I wish I could say something else. But the reality is, when you look at the Word of God, Jesus says do this, and then we do this, most of all in our marriages. That's why the Pharisees jumped through. Do you realize the Pharisees really weren't that much different than us? You know, they were. They dressed differently. They spoke differently. They ate different food. But when it really comes down to it, person's a person, right? And marriage is hard. Jesus Christ exposes right now, this morning, he's exposing a faulty view of marriage. And so secondly, we need to look right now at what is his view of marriage. If you've been cut to the quick about your own marriage or your own divorce, what does Jesus say about marriage? So let's look at that in verse 6. At the beginning of creation, Jesus says, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they're one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Okay, why does Jesus say this last phrase? How can he say this? What God has joined together, let man not separate. There's no asterisks by this, okay? Let man not separate. Well, okay. He says, do not separate this. How can he say this? How can Jesus say, let man not separate? First thing, it's because God invented marriage before the fall. Jesus' view of marriage, he doesn't want you to separate it because it is a creation thing. Verse 6, he's saying at the beginning, God created them, male and female. Marriage came out of the creative mind and force of the God of heaven and earth. He invented marriage. He cares about marriage. He thought up marriage. God has a purpose for everything. Let's listen to it. God has a purpose for everything he has created. He doesn't randomly do anything. Have you ever looked at a flower, really looked at a beautiful flower, looked closely at it? It's its own little universe. God created that flower to operate as its own little universe for a purpose. And God created marriage, male and female, made in his image for a purpose. It's not willy-nilly. He loves it. He made it for his own glory. See, Jesus is saying something here profound about what marriage is. Human beings did not invent marriage. It's not something that he invented just to give us convenience or happiness. It comes from his own being, his own character. That's why Jesus is so passionate about it. And since it was before the fall, he created it, and it was good. It was really good. Look, I'm talking about how hard marriage is, and I know my wife's not in this service, right? Marriage is good. Marriage is good. He created it to be good. He created it to be a blessing between male and female. It's something to be good. I know it's hard, but it's good. It's better than good. It's wonderful. He created it to be wonderful. Jesus wants us to adopt his view of marriage. That at the very foundation of society and culture is the marriage between male and female. Part of the reason we were created. You're beginning to see why Jesus feels so strongly about marriage. Secondly, the reason Jesus says don't let man separate is because there's an inseparable union here. An inseparable union according to Jesus. And we'll talk about why it is ever severed, but we'll talk about an inseparable union Jesus is talking about here. And why he so fiercely protects it is because it's a picture of Jesus and his bride, the church. It is the clearest picture of Jesus and his bride. That's why he cares so much about it. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, verse 7, and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but they are one. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. There is a mystery here. And the mystery, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, is this mystery is between Christ and his bride coming together. Jesus is saying this is so inseparable because I'm inseparable from my people. They become one flesh. See, marriage is precious to Jesus. Sacred to Jesus. Have you ever seen a couple that's been married for years and years and years holding hands? Have you ever seen this? It's a beautiful thing. And you see this husband caring for his wife and loving his wife and doting over her. They've been married all these years and he loves this woman and he cares for this woman. He would do anything for this woman. If this woman was not here, he would be brokenhearted beyond imagination. And that's what Jesus is saying about us, his bride. There's no divorce here. There's no getting out of this here. But Jesus had a passion for it. See, we think marriage is just about us. We think everything's about us, right? We think marriage is just about us, but it's much bigger than us. Some of you in hard marriages, difficult situations, I realize, but it's not just about you. God has joined the two of you together. Don't separate it, because Jesus loves your marriage. It's a sacred thing. Final reason that Jesus Christ says this is because God will never divorce his people. One of the pastors I was looking at did a study of all the Old Testament marriages. All the Old Testament, the patriarchs, their marriages. And you think, surely the patriarchs had great marriages. Almost like Focus on the Family brochure. 12 steps to a perfect marriage, right? This person, after long study and reading a book by a guy named Jeffrey Bromley, he concluded that all their marriages were terrible. They were horrendous. They were not good marriages. Most of them were nightmarish kind of marriages. They struggled, and they had broken hearts, and there was all this. It was like a Greek tragedy, these marriages, but not one divorce. It was a train wreck, not one divorce. Why? Because they understood what God meant by marriage. I don't get out of this union. There is no breaking this union. I have committed myself to this person. And marriage is not about just me and this woman. Marriage is about what God is doing in this world through his church. Even in Jeremiah, there's a certificate of divorce, right? Certificate of divorce. Sent away. I'll send my people away. I will send my people away, and I will send them a certificate of divorce. But even in Jeremiah, do you know what's being said? God says, my heart still longs for you. I'm going to bring you back. I won't divorce you. He never divorces his people. So now you understand what Jesus is saying about marriage. See, the Pharisees want to talk about exceptions. Jesus wants to talk about the rule. So what? Here we are. What do I do with this? The first point I want to say is God hates divorce. He really hates it. God hates divorce because he loves people. And divorce is a misery, and it never stops. Malachi 2:16. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And if we follow Jesus, we're called to hate what he hates. And Jesus says here, if you divorce and you marry someone else, then you commit adultery. But wait a second, aren't there exceptions? There are. There are two exceptions. There are two exceptions. The first one you find in Matthew 19, verse 9. It's in the case of immorality or marital unfaithfulness. Jesus says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Now, why doesn't Mark talk about this? Well, because it was assumed by all the audience that Mark is writing to that sexual infidelity is always a ground for divorce. It breaks the covenant. It breaks the covenant. But it's heartbreaking. It's a hell on earth. There's a second reason. It's another last resort. 2 Corinthians 7:14, if an unbelieving spouse abandons a believer, the believer is no longer under obligation and can remarry. Now, folks, there are issues of abuse. There, most of this is not black and white. I'm telling you as a pastor, there are truckloads of gray situations of what does this mean to be abandoned. But at the end of the day, most reasons are not legitimate reasons for divorce. Most reasons are not legitimate. There are people that have been brokenhearted. I'm telling you now, if you're one of these people that's thinking about walking out on your marriage and you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, you're living in contradiction to Jesus Christ. I know your marriage is hard, but if you do not have biblical grounds for this divorce, then you have no right to walk out on your spouse. Where does Jesus want you? Jesus wants you at home. And we hear the words over and over again. I can hear myself saying this, okay? I want to be happy. We just don't love each anymore. I want to, like, we're the first person that's ever said that before, right? You realize that every person that says that thinks of the first person. It's original. It is so unoriginal. I just want to be happy. Jesus, surely Jesus wants me to be happy. Jesus wants you to be married. And for those of you who have been wrecked by immorality, those of you who have been broken, who have been walked out on, those of you who have been trampled in your marriage, those of you who do have biblical grounds for divorce, we want this church to be a place where you can come and be loved and be comforted. People that walk around with divorce, they feel like they walk around with a big scarlet D on their chest. And that's not what this church is to be like. Do not move away from those people who have been hurt by divorce. Move toward them. Then you will be the love of Christ in their life. Now, what if there's some of us here that did not have biblical grounds for divorce, but you have remarried maybe once, twice, three times? That's another, just the elephant in the room. What do we do? Do you divorce again? No, that's not what the Bible says. In fact, Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, remain as you are. Do not add another divorce and another remarriage. What do you do? And folks, our church is filled with this. You have not gotten away with sin. No one ever gets away with sin. It's always something broken. There are consequences in our relationships or consequences in our spiritual life. Let me tell you how many times I've done weddings for divided families where there have been two, three, four marriages, and maybe both people now are walking with Christ. The wreckage and the carnage is felt at the rehearsal and at the rehearsal dinner and at the wedding and everything. There's constant ripple effects, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Divorce never goes away. What should I say, Richie? What should I say if I'm part of a divorce like that? First of all, call it what it is. If you have left your marriage with unbiblical grounds, this is Kevin DeYoung that said this. If you have left your marriage on unbiblical grounds, call it what it is and say what it is. I had no right to leave my wife. I had no right to leave my husband. Lord God, first of all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. I did not believe in your view of marriage. You talk about how un-PC that is. But do you see the true forgiveness and transformation that can happen if you do that? And then the next thing you do is that you try to make things right with your kids. You go and tell them too, I had no right to leave your mom. I had no right to leave your dad. I did it, and that's the way things are, but that's not what I should have done. And then I want to tell you, if that's you here today, and you're feeling this enormous burden, let me tell you what, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. It's a heartbreaking thing that God hates. Run to the cross of Jesus, and you will experience forgiveness in your darkest, most secret place. That secret place that you're hiding, that is the place you find transformation and forgiveness and hope and joy. Jesus is there. And some of you are walking with burdens, great burdens in your marriage. Call it what it is and run to the cross of Jesus Christ and find forgiveness. What if you're in a marriage and you are not happy? What if you're in a hard marriage? Stay married. You may be married to a jerk. A he jerk or a she jerk. Both kinds. You might be miserable, but you don't have grounds for divorce. Being a jerk is not, those aren't grounds. I wish they were, I know. But they're not. Get help now. Swallow your pride and get help with your marriage. Don't wait until it's too late. If you're in your 20s, you need to call Samuel Husband, who's a pastor here. He's coming on staff in early June. If you're married, you need to call Samuel Husband. If you're in your 30s, you need to call Parker Tennant. This week. If you're in your 40s, you need to call Murray Garrett. If you're in your 50s, you need to call Ed Norton. If you're in your 60s, you can call Ed. You can call Bill Hogan. You need to call somebody because we're going to get you help. And if you can't afford counseling, we're going to help you pay for counseling. Don't wait until it's too late. I can't tell you how many times people have come into my office and they've already made their minds up that they're going to get out of this marriage. Don't do that. Some of you are suffering greatly. Some of you are ready to walk out on your marriage right now without grounds. And you're doing all of the psychological, emotional gymnastics that you possibly can to think about how you can get out of this marriage. I want you to believe that God can part the Red Sea. I want you to believe that the God who blows into the valley of dry bones can make life out of death. I want you to realize that God, first of all, wants you to stay married, and that God alone can take you through this marriage moment by moment by moment. And His goal is not your happiness. His goal is His glory, and there will be nothing that will ever stop Him from completing His glory. Stay in your marriage and watch God do something awesome. What about those of you who want to get married but are not? Pursue marriage. It's good. It's great. It is. The Bible is not down on marriage. The Bible is so about marriage, showing what marriage is. Marriage is a blessing. Marriage is a glorious mess sometimes, but it's wonderful. But I want to warn you too. I want you to hear me. If you are here and you're single and you are not married, you want to be married someday, pursue someone who has a core commitment at their soul to Jesus. Do not go into this thinking they're going to turn around and get better. Do not go, even if you're engaged, do not go into a marriage where you have some sort of nominal commitment to this person being committed to Jesus. Trust me, if you remember nothing else I've said, do not marry someone who does not have a commitment to Jesus and you're a Christian. Don't do it. I don't care how cute they are. Cute and rich and sex and cool and all those things blow away like the mist when it really comes down to it. Find someone that follows Jesus and loves Jesus. And let's fight for our marriages. And let's love those people who have been hurt by divorce. Let's pray. Fairest Lord Jesus, You are the ruler of all nature and You're the ruler of our marriages. And these things are hard to hear because they're not convenient. These things are hard to hear because they rub against what we want. But the reality is that You've been established. You are now... on the throne, Lord Jesus. And since You are on the throne, we are not. And so we submit to You. Lord God in heaven, give us faithfulness to our spouses. Lord, protect those marriages that are under attack. Lord, give people wisdom and discernment by the power of Your Spirit to enter into those union, that covenant that they're going to make for life with true commitment to You first. We ask for it in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.